Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 37, the sacrifice performed by Daksha. Lokapala ucha,
Lokapala ucha,
Drista kino drighibir asa kanaistvam,
Drista kino drighibir asa kanaistvam,
Tadyagrasta drishyate yena visvam,
Tadyagrasta drishyate yena visvam,
Maya hi esha bhavadiya hi bhumam,
Maya hi esha bhavadiya hi bhumam,
Yastvam shasta panchabir basi bhutai,
Yastvam shasta panchabir basi bhutai.
So Lokapala,
Lokapala,
the governors of different planets,
governors of the different planets,
Uchu,
Uchu,
said,
Drishta,
Drishta,
seen,
Kim,
whether,
Na,
Na,
by us,
by us,
Drigbihi,
Drigbihi,
by the material senses,
by the material senses,
Asat Gahahi,
Asat-gahahi,
revealing the cosmic manifestation.
Revealing the cosmic manifestation.
Tvam,
Tvam,
you.
You.
Pratyag
drista.
Inner witness.
Inner witness.
Drishyate.
Drishyate.
Is seen.
Is seen.
Yena.
Yena.
By whom?
By whom?
Vishvam,
Vishvam,
the universe,
the universe.
Maya,
Maya,
material world,
material world.
He,
he,
because
Esha, Esha,
this,
this.
Bhavadye,
Bhavadye,
your,
your.
He,
he,
certainly,
certainly.
Bhuman,
Bhuman,
O possessor of the universe,
O possessor of the universe.
Ya,
ya,
because
Tvam,
Tvam,
you,
you.
Shashta,
Shashta,
the sixth,
Panchabi,
the
five senses,
Bashi,
appear, Bhutai, with the elements. Translation: the governors of the various planets spoke as follows. Dear Lord, we believe only in our direct perception, but under the circumstances we do not know whether we have actually seen you with our material senses. By our material senses we are by our material senses we can simply perceive the cosmic manifestation, but you are beyond the five elements. You are the sixth. We see you therefore as a creation of the material world. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The governors of the various planets are certainly materially opulent and very puffed up. Such persons are unable to understand the transcendental, eternal form of the Lord. In the Brahma Samhita it is stated that only persons who have anointed their eyes with the love of Godhead can see the personality of Godhead in every step of their activities. Also in the prayers of Queen Kunti, Bhagavatam 1.8.26, it is stated that only those who are akinchana gocharam, who are not materially puffed up, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others are bewildered and cannot even think of the Absolute Truth. Omagana timidam dasyaganam jana salakaya chakshuram militam mena tasma shri gurve namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Padaya, Krishna Padaya, Krishna Padaya, Krishna Padaya, Krishna Padaya. So this is an interesting section where Prabhupada uses a terminology that we've become accustomed with in ISKCON, and the term is puffed up. I don't think I've heard that anywhere else except in ISKCON. Maybe some other people use that terminology, but puffed up. It's an ISKCON terminology. And it relates actually, I think, to an analogy or an example that Srila Prabhupada gives about a materialist wanting to possess so many things. And the analogy that he gives is of a frog. There's a particular frog that likes to puff himself up. Have you seen that? On David Attenborough, you see some of these frogs that for protection, have you seen that? For protection, the frog actually goes and puffs himself up like this, right? So the snakes and the aggressors don't think, whoa, he's such a big frog. I'm not going to touch that frog. So this is where the expression puffed up comes from. So this is sort of the situation within the material world. People puff themselves up with material opulences. Look how good I am. Such a big man. So yesterday, Madhavananda Prabhu gave a wonderful class. Was anybody here yesterday for Madhavananda's class? Did you think it was a good class?
Yes.
It was a really, really good class. Because he hit on a subject matter which is close to the heart. And the subject matter he talked about was pride. Being puffed up. Pride. And he analysed very, very diligently how we are all affected by pride. Being proud. And then he analysed, okay, how do we conquer this pride? And it was very comprehensive and it was very easy to listen to and it was just really wonderful and I really admire him for that wonderful class. So in that class he mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, there was a story about a devotee. You remember that he was talking about this devotee, very good devotee, who was an excellent kirtanier. And he led a wonderful kirtan. Everybody was ecstatic about this devotee's kirtan. And he came up to Prabhupada, and everybody appreciated this devotee's kirtan. And he went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, that was a wonderful kirtan. And then he confided in Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, actually, you know, when I do a kirtan like that, I'm sometimes affected by pride. And so Prabhupada's answer to that is, what's wrong with that? Remember that? He was saying that? So I'd like to just embellish. And Madhavananda explained it to a certain extent, but I'd just like to take it just that little step further of what Prabhupada actually meant by saying, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Having pride in Krishna consciousness. As it's explained, if our actions are Krishna-centered, in that the devotee that was leading the kirtan was trying to inspire the devotees in the holy name of the Lord. It was completely Krishna-centered and selfless, then that's actually a higher taste. We shouldn't be averse to being proud to serve Krishna and the Guru and our Guru. We should be proud to cause change in people's minds and hearts, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Changing people's perception, taking people away from the material illusion. We should be proud of that. And in our service, we are always hopeful that our service is pleasing to the spiritual master and to Krishna. And that's the key. Because it's actually the spiritual master and Krishna that are the energy that are motivating us. This is the key. We are actually working, Krishna and the Guru, our spiritual master and the Parampara, are actually working through us. We become a vehicle, an agent of the Supreme Lord and His representatives. Now that is an amazing thing. That is really, truly an amazing thing. And that, in fact, is our spiritual bliss. When we can feel that the spiritual master and Krishna are working through us, in whichever way it may be. When we feel that, some people say the ecstasy in Krishna consciousness is when I have a divine vision of the Supreme Lord, or when I feel chills up my spine and I feel like I'm shaking all over and falling in ecstasy. That may be. But the greatest thrill is actually serving the spiritual master and feeling that he is doing that. He is helping you and he's surcharging you with spiritual energy. When you feel that charge of spiritual energy and you know that Krishna and the Guru and Parampara are behind you, that is something to be really proud of. And that is not a false pride. That's actually something to be achieved. Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example of that. Never did he give himself credit. Never did he say, oh, I did such a wonderful job coming to the West. He said, I'm simply serving my spiritual master. This is all Bhaktisiddhanta's mercy. I'm nothing. I'm just his agent. I'm just presenting this philosophy as he wanted. He never took it for himself. And that was Prabhupada's spiritual bliss. And he was proud to be the messenger of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He was proud. And it's evident whenever, if you didn't get an opportunity to see Prabhupada himself, which is the majority of us, we can see it on the videos that are left behind. The wonderful way in which Prabhupada carried himself. He was proud. He was a small man, yet he looked 6'5". He looked as tall as me. And yet he was so strong. His head was held high. He wasn't a false renunciate. He wasn't like, oh, I'm so formal. Oh, yes. No, he didn't grovel. He was proud. And he wanted his devotees to also be proud of being the agent for Krishna, being the agent for Guru. And we see how that example that Srila Prabhupada has set is being passed on to the next generation of acharyas, of gurus, male and female, leaders within this movement who carry themselves with great dignity and great reserve and great power because they're representing Srila Prabhupada, they're representing the parampara, they're representing Krishna, and they're surcharged with energy. And sometimes you see, you get glimpses of that. You know, like recently, I had the opportunity of looking at the pastimes of Indradumna Maharaj. Just one example. Just a wonderful personality. Doing such amazing things in Poland, in all the different, Vrindavan, meeting so many people, going all over the world, preaching. Never does he take credit for himself. Oh, I did such a wonderful job in Poland. Oh, I did such a wonderful job here. Similarly, you know, we have so many Vaishnavas that come and visit here. At the moment, we have Mataji here, Narayani Mataji who's here, senior Prabhupada disciple. She travels all over the world just presenting Krishna consciousness. And when you see her, she's very demure and humble. But then I saw her give a class at New Govardhan just recently, and she exploded. This humble lady, all of a sudden, gave it to the Sunday Peace crowd. And it's ecstatic. And you could see the energy of Prabhupada and the Parampara welling up within her. And this is her ecstasy. And this is the ecstasy of all the leaders within ISKCON. And this is our ecstasy. And that's what we should tap into. This is so important. These are the attributes that we should model ourselves on. We can see it also in our activities on a daily basis. We have that, we tap into that ecstatic nature, that ecstatic feeling in areas such as deity worship. Some of us, who does deity worship here? Right. Yeah. And who does deity worship at home? Right. So, you do too? Fantastic. Do you feel, when you actually go to dress the deities, and you're thinking, how shall I dress the deities today? You're thinking, what can I do? Is it you that thinks, maybe I should do this and that combination? Or is it the Lord Himself talking to you? It's both your intelligence, but it's also the Lord encouraging you. Today I would like to dress like this. And sometimes some of the pujaris can attest to this. Sometimes we go into the deity room to dress the deities and somehow or other our consciousness is not so 100%. And we grab this jewellery and this thing and that thing and we come into the deity room and we sit down and it's just not working. Have you had that experience? It's just not working. And so Krishna is saying, no, no, no. Get in tune with me and I want this. And so you have to go out of the deity room, back into the paraphernalia room and resort it and do it again. So this is Krishna's mercy. Even on Sankirtan, when we're doing book distributions, you know. There are certain people that you know, and Krishna's going inside, he's saying, that's the person you should talk to. And as soon as you see the person, oh, and you're successful. We had so many things. When we used to do paraphernalia sales, we used to sell things. To raise money for this temple and for Mayapur, we used to sell things. We sold everything. You name it, we sold it. We sold candles, we sold paintings, we sold jewelry, perfume, bliss bar, you name it, we sold it. Chocolate covered peanuts, you name it. And every time, if you're in the right consciousness and you allowed the Lord to actually work through you, then what happened was he would direct you to the right people to give you the greatest return. And that was fascinating. And sometimes you'd be in a lift and there's 16 floors or something, right? And you'll go, okay, my Lord, where do you want me to go? And internally feel level 16. And so you go to level 16 and sure enough, there's a sales there. And if you would have gone to 15, then there would have been somebody at reception that says, get out of the building. But you did it and you followed through. So there are many different stories. How Krishna, as Paramatma, and the guiding devotee, is directing you. Many, many examples. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, I carry what you lack and preserve what you had. So it's both your intelligence and also Krishna's little help that actually helps you to serve the Lord in this way. And how pure and how fixed we are in our sadhana will determine how much the Lord actually reciprocates with us. And so this is the crux. Even when we used to do Sankirtan, when it was a lot more full on, I mean, most of the devotees here would, like recently we saw this picture that somebody posted of the devotees. We did a group shot out the front here of all the devotees that were here in 1986. 82 was it? In 82. Well, practically everybody used to go out and do sales, right? And the Sankirtan leader, at one stage I was the Sankirtan leader, and we would encourage the devotees, as good as you chant your rounds in the morning and as good as you get up early for Mangalarti and as good as you serve the Supreme Lord, the best you will do at your Sankirtan. And it proved a fact every single time. If a devotee came back and there wasn't much of a result, or they slept in the car, because that happened a lot too. Devotees, I was with, and it was interesting, you know, sometimes you'd be with a devotee and you think, boy, they're so fixed. It was Gopinath Acharya, who's no longer with us. And he had such a good sadhana, but he had this inclination to fall asleep a lot. But Krishna always worked from within. And we would go out together and do Sankirtan, and we'd be selling paintings. And I'd be like, yes, let's get out there. Come on, Gopinath. He said, just 1 minute. I'll come in a minute. I've just got to do something. So I'd be out, and I'd be selling my paintings door to door, you know, office to office, shop to shop. And then I'd come back after 2 or 3 hours, and there'd be Gopinath Acharya with his head against the window with drool coming out of his mouth, you know, asleep. Hey, Gopinath, what's the matter with you? Come on, we've got to do Sankirtan. It's okay, Prabhu, it's okay. And at the end of the day, guess who had the biggest score? It was Gopinath. He would go out for an hour or so, and Krishna would make all the arrangements for him because he was such a surrendered soul. I wasn't the surrendered, I had the frog, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm the doer, I've got to make this book. You want to buy a painting? I really like this painting. You will like this painting. Instead of just saying, Krishna, make the arrangements. And Gopinath would go out, and all of a sudden, Krishna would make the arrangements. He didn't. Another person was a very surrendered soul in Sankirtan. It was Janavamata. And this was unusual, but she was my Sankirtan partner at one stage because she didn't have a female partner to go with. So they said, okay, Bhakti, you go with Janavamata. Again, such a surrendered soul. When she chanted her rounds in the morning, it was just focused. Chanting, and Krishna would provide the impetus for her to do well in Sankirtan. There's another person also, and I just met her recently at New Govardhan as well again, which was fantastic. She's now 80. Mandakini? 80-something. Yeah, she's 82, I think. And when she used to go, she was the top Sankirtan lady. The top Sankirtan lady. And Krishna inspired her so much. And her morning, when you saw her chanting her rounds, she would have a picture of Krishna right in her face like this, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So dedicated, so completely focused. And the result was she had wonderful return. Wonderful return. You know, people would do anything to buy her painting off this lady. I told this story once before and I'll tell it again because it's so funny. She would do Sankirtan and we used to do door to door. Tell me if you've heard this story before. It's really interesting to just show how surrendered this person was. She would go door to door and she knocked on this one door and these people were born again Christians. And there was a gathering of these born again Christian people in this house. And so Mandakini said, "Hi, I'm just in the area, we're just in the area selling some wonderful paintings." And these people thought, "Ah, here's a candidate to become a Christian." And they said, "Yes, come in, come in." And so Mandakini went in, you know. And Krishna's all the time playing his little game. So they said, "Oh, we're charismatic Christians. And what we do is we speak in tongues." You've heard of that before, where Christians speak in tongues? It's sort of like an ecstatic emotion. And they speak in these weird languages. And it's, you know, if it's good for them, it's good for them. I'm not criticizing that at all. Anyway, she came, "Oh, that's very nice. Yes, I also love God and, you know." And she said, "But I'm here to sell paintings." She said, and they said to her, "Well, after we've had a session, perhaps you could sell paintings then." She said, "Okay, fine, that's fine." So they sat in a circle and they all started praying. And then all of a sudden, they start talking in this strange language. Blah, 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 and you know, sort of symptoms. So Mandakini, Krishna inspired her, thought, "Hey, I'll do something quite different." And she said, "Oh, oh, I'm feeling it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." And the people are going, "Yes, yes, the Lord is working through you. Yes, keep going, keep going." They didn't understand that it was the holy name of the Lord. At the end of it all, "Wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Do you feel the Spirit of the Lord?" And she said, "Yes, I do. Now, which paintings would you like to buy?" And they bought a whole lot of paintings. She walked out and said, "Thank you very much. Jai Shri Krishna." So Krishna's working from within. You know, and however pure and fixed we are in our devotion, that actually determines how much Krishna will support us in so many different ways. There's a Christian theology, you know, because I work in interfaith and I've got experience in Christianity. There's a statement that is said to have been made by Christ where he said that I and the Father are one. Now this has been misinterpreted within Christianity. It's thinking that, okay, Jesus is the Son of God, he must also be God. When you analyze it in the Krishna conscious terminology, I and the Father are one, that means that he was working for God. And anything he did was nothing but the message and service to God. So this is where they've misconstrued it. He's not in himself a God or part of God, which we all are in a sense, but in another sense it wasn't that he was claiming to be God. I and the Father are one, which is what they sort of interpret. What he's saying is that my mission was one with the will of God. So this is an interesting thing, and it's a mistaken understanding. There is also a prayer in Christianity, which I used to love. Before I was a devotee, I used to love this prayer. And it said, "Lord, make me a vessel of your love." You heard that one? "Lord, make me a vessel of your love." Huh?
"Channel of your peace."
And that's the second verse. "And a channel of your peace." So a vessel of your love. So in other words, let the Lord fill you up. If you have this image as your material body, fill up with love for God and then go and act. This is our duty. So Prabhupada in the purport here, he mentions the word akinchana gocharam. Akinchana gocharam, and the Sanskrit dictionary defines that one who is approached easily by material exhausted man. Now, material exhausted man doesn't mean that somebody that's just rejecting everything, but somebody that has no more attraction to material things. Just doesn't interest them anymore. So Prabhupada, again, in this purport, he mentions the prayers of Queen Kunti. This is probably one of the most important sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Queen Kunti. And in particular, he mentions 1.8.26. So this verse is quoted, if you've read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada actually uses this verse a lot right through the whole Bhagavatam. It's sprinkled right through the whole Bhagavatam. And I thought it would be good to just analyze this verse a little bit and Srila Prabhupada's purport a little deeply and just go a little further into it. So the purport, or the verse is, Queen Kunti says, "My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached only by those who are materially exhausted, had enough of this material world. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling." So if we have attachment to these things, you can't approach. Now the purport by Srila Prabhupada. "Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family, possessing great wealth and education, and an attractive personal beauty." That's so-called material advancement. "All materialistic men and women are mad after possessing all these material opulences. And this is known as advancement of material civilization." So that means wanting the latest gadgets, the latest iPod, the latest computer, the latest this and that, the latest car, the latest house and spouse, that kind of thing. I want the latest, the best thing. Right up to what was mentioned here, who's stating this prayer, this verse, is the Lords, the governors of our planetary system, the various planets. So the demigods, who want to be, you know, power generators. And so many people want to be very powerful. So many people would like to be a demigod, to have that power. So, and if there is a slight chance that they can achieve that material power, they'll do anything they can to try and achieve that. Prabhupada continues, "But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up." Prabhupada again, that word, puffed up. "Intoxicated by such temporary possessions." "I'm such a great person," they think. You know, "I possess all these things, they are mine. They define me. My house defines me. My Lamborghini defines me. I am that person. I am that car. I am that house. Just like that big frog. Now I have a Mercedes, now I have a Lamborghini, now I have..." So on and so forth. But death comes as the snake. No matter how big that frog is puffed up, and goes, "Thank you very much." And what happens to all that puffed up? When the snake bites, the poor frog goes, and the snake eats it. And that's death. At death, all the Lamborghinis, all the spouse and house, everything is just gone, and then you're left with whatever your karma is and the desire is for future development. So consequently, Prabhupada says, "Such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna." So feelingly, with love, understanding that the Lord is everything. Everything in this material world is the Supreme Lord. And everything in this material world belongs to him. Prabhupada continues, "It is said that the Shastras, that once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of quantities of sin that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord." There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potencies. And Harinamananda can attest to this. When we go out on Harinam, people are benedicted by the holy name of the Lord. They may not necessarily become devotees, but just by hearing the holy name of the Lord when we're out on Sankirtan, we are dissolving so many sins that these people have accumulated. If they have the opportunity to then dance with the devotees and chant the holy names, there's even more greater. But, Prabhupada says, there is a quality to such utterances also. A quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. So they may chant in a jovial sort of way, you know, it's fun, it's everything, and there's great benefit for them, no doubt. And this is the potency of Harinam. But there is a quality in such utterances. So there has to be sincerity that, my Lord, please guide and direct me. I'm yours. Honesty. I'm a fallen creature in this material world. Please, I'm nothing without you. Humility, being very, very humble. I'm nothing but a puppet in your hands. And that again is that prayer by Srila Prabhupada when he arrived in America. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Simply see ourselves as puppets being directed by the Supreme Lord. This is of the utmost importance. Prabhupada continues, a helpless man can feelingly utter the holy names of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. So again, because I do this interfaith and meeting with people of different faith traditions, there are Hindu leaders and other religious leaders, and they chant the following prayers, chant holy names and so on and so forth, but in effect they're simply after material gain. And I've noticed that in particular within the Hindu community, and I don't mean to disregard them, but in the Hindu community sometimes there's this thing of position. You know, even if it's a small organization or a small gathering or something, there's this desire to be the top. Somehow or other, I have to be the chairperson or the secretary, some sort of noted sort of thing. Where in effect, it's what the hell is it? It's nothing really important. So, but this is also throughout other institutions. You know, people are striving to become the archbishop and then the bishop and so on and so forth. There's this joke. I have to tell you this joke. In Christianity, there's this joke where there was a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi, and they were sitting together, and the Jewish rabbi was asking the Catholic priest, what is the hierarchy in your religion? And the Catholic priest, well, I'm a priest, but if I'm really good, I may be able to become a deacon. Oh, well, that's pretty good. That's fantastic. He said, but if I'm really, really conscientious and I really work hard, I may become a bishop. Now, a bishop controls a big diocese. Well, and I get to wear this really super hat, which looks really cool. And, wow, that's fantastic. Can you go any higher than that? Yeah, well, if I'm really, really, and I push a few buttons here and there, I can become a cardinal. Wow, that's amazing, a cardinal. And then I get to go to Rome, and then I get to wear the funny hat as well, but I get to wear a little cap, and I get to go to all these far out meetings and stuff, you know. Wow, so that's the top. I said, no, the top is to become the Pope. Wow, can you achieve that? She said, yes, that's the pinnacle, then I'm the top boy. Wow. He said, can you go any higher than that? He said, no, the Pope is the highest. He said, what about becoming Jesus? He said, no, I can't become Jesus. He said, one of our boys did.
Oh, God.
So this is material. Anyway, that's just a little joke. Another interesting thing I should mention, actually, while I'm thinking of it. You know, we have our class here, and you know, people give classes and everything. It's amazing how much actually goes out to the broader audience. This week I had to go to do some chaplaincy work at one of the universities, and I'm a new chaplain at this university, and I'm just becoming inducted as a chaplain for the university. There's a lot of Indian community at this university, and so they need a Hindu, Vaishnav Hindu chaplain. And anyway, the chaplain leader there said to me, actually, you've been checked out by our Muslim brothers and sisters. They wanted to make sure that if I'm a colleague of theirs in this university, that I didn't hold any anti-Muslim sentiment. So they've been watching my classes and going on YouTube and checking out what I actually say. So this is really interesting for all of us, actually, when you... And it was far out when I heard that. So it's interesting, what we say here from the Bhagavatam is now broadcasted all over the world. So we have to be a bit careful. Anyway, that's just an aside. So Prabhupada continues in this purport. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the names in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications in the process of the path of spiritual advancement. So does that mean that we can't have money, we can't look good, we can't have high parentage, and we can't have a high education? Does that mean that in Krishna consciousness? Not at all. In Krishna consciousness, those qualities are used in the service of Krishna, letting Krishna empower us in that. Like, say, for example, in good birth. You see these kids that are here. They have had the good birth of being born into a family of devotees. What an advantage. I mean, I wish I would have been born in a family of devotees and be able to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, to learn the truth right from the start, instead of having to go through this whole gymnastics of, oh God, is this the thing? Is that the truth? So this is a wonderful quality. Number 2, wealth. Wealth shouldn't be a thing that we worry about. If wealth comes to us, we use it in Krishna service. And the perfect example of that is Ambarish Prabhu, who was just here, and his wife. Wealthy, wealthy people. And they are distributing their wealth to further Krishna consciousness. In the TOVP and so many other, Detroit Temple, they give money all the time. And this is the proper utilization of wealth. Number 3, to become very learned. Devotees have to become learned. Prabhupada stressed that actually devotees should take to Krishna consciousness as an enthusiastic university student takes to university studies. That is required of a devotee, that we study Prabhupada's book diligently and really become conversant with the Shastras. Why? So we can defeat the impersonalists, so we can defeat the atheists, so we can have an answer to their creationist theories and different theories on synthesis, different things, that we can answer them intellectually, that we are professors, doctors, theologians, you know, and Vaishnava Hindu, Vaishnava devotees. You know, like say for example, there is Dawkins, the great atheist. You know, he gives public lectures. Did you know that he will not have a conversation with a Hare Krishna devotee? He won't. He'll meet everybody else, he'll meet the Christians and shoot their theories of creation in flames, but he will not talk to a devotee because he knows a devotee can shatter his whole direction. And then fourthly, to be attractive, to be beautiful. There is absolutely nothing wrong in being beautiful, in presenting yourself as a pukka devotee. When you see the example of Srila Prabhupada, any time you saw the example of Srila Prabhupada on video, who's seen the video of Srila Prabhupada, the latest one? Isn't it fantastic? Even when he was in the Bowery, in the Lower East Side of New York, he carried himself with such grace, he was such a gentleman, always looked pukka. Even if it was Indian clothes, Western clothes, that doesn't matter. We should always look incredibly pukka. Clean and neat, hair clean, face clean. I didn't shave this morning. Prabhupada didn't like beards. Prabhupada didn't like beards. He said, I like my devotees clean shaven. So there's a trend at the moment that devotees are wearing beards because the Gaudiya Math has beards and all this kind of stuff. But Prabhupada didn't like it. He said, that's not us. He liked clean shaven, clean, neat. So these are the things that are important, that we look. Because when you, I know it's a fashion trend at the moment for men, I'm sorry, to have this shadow beard type of thing going on. But actually, and also for everyone, sorry. But this is, it doesn't really look clean. And if you notice now that the trend is going away from that. For a while there on TV, every second TV presenter had this sort of half beard type of thing going on. And then all of a sudden it was gone. So Prabhupada liked this to be clean and neat. That the ladies wore beautiful saris. In the early days, Prabhupada actually bought saris for his women devotees. Narayani, is that correct? To actually look pukka, because the hippie clothes were sort of like all over the joint. I mean, I was a hippie also to a certain extent, and we used to wear all sorts of strange things. You know, caftans. Can you imagine me in a caftan? I used to have a caftan. I had a caftan, a long beard. Anyway, weird sort of stuff. So Prabhupada saw that his women devotees, let them have beautiful saris. A woman looks gorgeous, no matter what the woman's weight is, no matter what she looks like. When she's wearing a sari, she looks like a demigoddess. Isn't it? And so Prabhupada wanted us to look beautiful. We go to functions. Bhakti and I go to functions sometimes, and they're interfaith functions. And sometimes we think, okay, what shall we wear? You know, shall we wear Western clothes? And especially Bhakti sometimes thinks, maybe I should just wear a nice pants suit or something. But when she wears a sari, all the politicians, all the women, the wives of the politicians, oh, you look so beautiful. What a lovely sari. I wish I could wear a sari, you know. They're completely enthralled. And it's just a simple sari, one piece of cloth, beautifully. So this is Prabhupada's thing. So we should look beautiful in Krishna consciousness. We should make an attempt to really look nice and represent Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't want slovenliness, he wanted pukka, clean looking. So Prabhupada continues, the material covering of pure spirit soul is an external feature as much as the fever is an external feature of an unhealthy body, which is a great example. The general process is to decrease the degree of fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it's seen that spiritually advanced people become materially impoverished. Materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign as much as falling of temperature is a good sign when one has a fever. So not to be attached. So often in the early days, our parents and friends would be surprised when we joined the Hare Krishna movement. How can you give up everything? You know, like when we came to Krishna consciousness, I had my own small little business and it was, you know, progressing. And my parents went, why are you giving this up? Why did we send you to school? Why did you, you know, you're giving it all up. You could make so much money. And even to this day, you know, my brother, who is our accountant, says, why are you doing this for 30 years, 30, 40 years, you know? You could have made so much money. You know, for example, sometimes the devotees, when we do the painting auction, you know, the photos for Snani Yatra, and some people come up, oh, Prabhu, you would have made a great auctioneer, you know. But we're not interested in these sort of things. We gave it all up. So impoverishment is not a bad thing. If we can live simply to keep body and soul together, that's enough. We don't need much more than that. The occasional trip to India would be great. But that's all we need. So Prabhupada continues, the principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication and leads one to more and more illusion about the aim of life. Intoxication, addiction, bad habits, etc., through the sincere practice of Krishna consciousness will slowly diminish. It will happen, but we have to be diligent. And things will eventually be released. So a grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for the entrance of the kingdom of God. Now Prabhupada makes a clear point here. He says grossly illusioned persons. Grossly. That means completely. It's interesting that Prabhupada uses this term because he also says devotees, even though they're chanting Hare Krishna, even they're following strictly, there may still be some remnants of material attachment, there may still be some remnants of pride. How do I get rid of that? You know, envy, so many different things are still shackled to us. But we're not grossly illusioned. We are still focused on our Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada has made the point, if a person follows strictly the rules and regulations of devotional service, chanting 16 rounds with attention, not necessarily with a picture of Krishna in the front, but if one follows strictly and chants their rounds in the spirit of love and service to the Supreme Lord, chants 16 rounds, follows the regulative principles, as tough as it may be, gritting our teeth and saying, I'm following these principles, Prabhupada guarantees, at the end of this life, you go back home, back to Godhead. Even if there's still some material attachments there. Prabhupada said, we'll look after that. This is the mercy of Guru and Krishna. This is the mercy of the wonderful Srila Prabhupada. Now, one such great devotee, before you hit me up, one such great devotee is Lord Ramanujacharya, a devotee of the Lord, who is, today is his disappearance day. Is that right? You were waiting, weren't you? Mahatma always waits. Okay, back to Prabhu's giving class. And he always forgets special devotees. And then Mahatma, Prabhu, today is such and such his appearance day. Can you talk a little bit about him? And I go, oh God, I forgot. Anyway, today I got you, Mahatma. It's Ramanuja Acharya's disappearance day. So Ramanuja Acharya, and he's a great Vaishnava saint. Ramanuja Acharya lived between 1017 and 1137. So he lived for 120 years. It was his 1000th anniversary recently. And we were fortunate enough to actually house the devotees of Ramanuja Acharya here at our temple to have their celebration. His Vedanta Sutra commentary, Sri Bhashya, established the doctrine known as Vishishta Advaita, qualified non-dualism. He was a staunch proponent of the philosophy of personalism. He was one of the first personalists. He taught that although the Supreme Lord and the individual souls are qualitatively one, there is still a difference between them, for the Lord is infinite and the living entities are infinitesimal. Sri Ramanuja Acharya travelled extensively throughout India, teaching personalism and defeating proponents of the monist philosophy. He founded 74 centres of Sri Vaishnavism and initiated 700 sannyasis, 12,000 brahmacharis, I don't know how many brahmacharinis, sorry, it's not there, and thousands of householders, including kings and wealthy landowners. So our friends at Jet Australia Foundation, who is, we're very much linked with, will be honouring this day today. I just wanted to mention, in order to celebrate the 1000th anniversary of the birth of this Acharya and mark the gratitude, a mark of gratitude by His Holiness Chinnanjeeva Swamiji, who I met, very, very advanced devotee, is constructing a statue of Ramanuja Acharya. The statue, and the statue is called the Statue of Equality. It's being built over 50 acres of land in Shamshabad, is that correct? Huh? Shamshabad, in the outskirts of Hyderabad, right? Yeah. So this is one huge deity of Ramanuja Acharya. It will be the largest sitting statue at 216 feet in a park spread over 50 acres of land. The statue symbolizes equality that Ramanuja propounded. It includes 108 Divya Deshams, temples, architectural representations, educational, environmental and social services, and guided insight into cultural heritage, appropriate support for the ecosystem. His statue is aptly named the Statue of Equality. Ramanuja Acharya was the first Acharya to prove that all are equal before Almighty, lived for 120 years and inspired all to practice equality in society, treated the downtrodden at par excellence, made temples and centres of society where all artisans of society took active part, initiated several activities with temples, such as centres of society offering service to all, instructed that only efficient and knowledgeable leaders be appointed to oversee all activities, revived all temples like Sri Rangam at Tamil Nadu, Melkote at Karnataka state, Tirumalam at Tirupati in Andhra state in India, rooted out untouchability and other vices that existed in society, and gave everyone the same privilege of worshipping God. He called those branded as so-called untouchables Tirukur Kulasthara. Is that right? Tirukulasthara. Anyway, my Sanskrit's hopeless. It means born divine. So everybody is born divine. And took them inside the temples. This is the first time the untouchables were allowed to come into the temple. He gave the most divine mantra to all, which was a closely guarded secret only available to a select few. Imbibed in society that women need to be shown utmost respect and empowerment, and empowered them to serve the society as leaders. So this is Ramanujacharya. So today, this being his disappearance day, we should pray to this great Acharya to rid us of the sense of personal selfish pride, this puffed upness, and that he, like him, be completely surrendered to the will of God and promote Krishna consciousness to the very best of our abilities. This is what's required. And on these special days, this is the day that we can do that, to pray to this individual, this great Acharya in our life. So I'll stop here. There's one thing that I wanted to mention, which I mentioned also at New Govardhan, which was a thing that upset me quite a lot, was the killing of small living entities. I noticed a couple of devotees have this attitude of killing small living entities, little insects. I was at a function one not that long ago, and this devotee, a good devotee, there was a little fly flying around, and he just went like that. Killed the fly. Oh, God. Prabhu, what are you doing? Oh. Without thinking of what he was doing. Similarly, another devotee, I won't say who the names they were, was in a new house, and they started killing spiders. Instead of taking them outside, they were killing the spiders. I said, you can't do that. This is a living entity. Krishna loves that living entity as much as he loves you. How can you do this? So I just want a reminder. This is just a reminder. It's a reminder for me also that we have to be really mindful when we're dealing with other living entities in this world. Even if they take the form of a little mouse, spider, ant, even a mosquito. Yeah, okay, it's mosquito season. Prabhupada said, yes, we can kill the mosquito. It's only taking a little bit of blood. Not a lot. You know, and just protect yourself so you don't have to kill them. I just wanted to mention that. The final thing is, 2 weeks' time, we've got Rath Yatra coming up. Yay! Are we enthusiastic about Rath Yatra? It's going to be a great Rath Yatra again. We've got the Harinam Rishi band here to liven us up. And we've got many great devotees coming from all over Australia that are going to be doing kirtan. And our local congregational devotees and temple devotees are going to be performing. The kids are going to be performing. You going to be performing? Are you part of it? What? Are you in the kirtan band? You have to be. See if you can get in. What about you? You're in it. Yeah, good on you. So it's going to be a great day. There's going to be a lot of devotees there. It's going to be a lot of people there. Last year we entertained, how many was it? 40,000? 40,000 people went through our Vedic village. Yeah, we're going to have the juice stand again with lovely, delicious juices. Some of the Matajis are making snacks. Mother Mohan's getting the whole catering thing set up. There's the card reading. We need volunteers for all these different things. The watermelon is on. We've got 3 tons of watermelon coming. We need people to distribute them. So it's going to be a fun day. We hope and pray to Krishna, like every year, it will be a really nice day, wet weather-wise. So we're encouraging everybody, if you can render a little bit of service, this is the time to do it. Take that opportunity. Let Krishna fill you with his love and energy and just be a real powerhouse of service on this wonderful day. I'll stop here. Any comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu.
Is this subject of pride? Remember reading that the pride of the disciple is instruction of the spiritual master.
You what? Say again?
The pride of the disciple is the instruction of the spiritual master.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right to this very day. If the spiritual master has given you a specific instruction, like Kadambakanana Maharaj has given you that instruction to go and bring this holy name through chanting in the streets all over the world, and like you as a good devotee, you're taking that up, you're taking that mission up. Are you filled with joy every time you do it? Most days. But you are, we can see it. You come here back to Melbourne. Harinamananda used to be a devotee here in Melbourne, and he went off and he's following his spiritual master's direction. And if you see him, he's so much filled with the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness and following his spiritual master's order that when he jumps, he literally levitates. Jumps so high. He's a humble soul too. Any other comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. On the note of being, you know, rightfully proud, there is an anecdote I read. Srila Prabhupada was asked that a devotee was always taking pictures of Srila Prabhupada's face.
Yeah.
And he said that I've noticed, Srila Prabhupada, that your head is always high. Is there, you know, some significance to that? And Srila Prabhupada grabbed his hand on the table and he said, because we cannot be defeated, we are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are doing his work according to the instructions of the scriptures.
That is amazing. That's our Srila Prabhupada. Powerful. That's how we have to be. Follow that example. Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu. That's really, I remember that one. That's great. I like those stories about Prabhupada where he's powerful. Any other comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitya Gaur Premanande.